south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander...
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. Now, last time, if you remember, I was talking about bank accounts in Latin America and the FATCA law that's screwing everything up for people who've got accounts down here. Especially now, starting in Mexico, where there are over a million expats and expat property owners, retirees, and sunbirds and such, many of whom have got that 30-day notice letter from Banamex saying their personal accounts are going to be closed out on July 1st. In the letter, they don't tell you why, but the real reason is it's way too much expense and hassle to obey the FATCA reporting requirements for U.S. citizens with personal bank accounts abroad. Now, in the last show, I left off by saying that down here, it's not happening everywhere, that's for sure. In fact, if you have a personal bank account, meaning a bank account in your name, in a Latin American country that's well off the tourist trail, that means excluding Mexico, Costa Rica, and Panama. Chances are that bank is not going to cut you off. It turns out, based on what a few bankers down here have told me, it just so happens there are so few gringos that hold bank accounts in off-the-tourist trail Latin countries like, for example, Honduras, Salvador, Guatemala, Bolivia, Paraguay, etc., that even those idiotic, cumbersome FATCA regulations won't cause much of a paperwork headache. As it turns out, in banks off the gringo tourist trail, for the foreseeable future anyway, things won't change much. Not when less than a fraction of a percent of a bank's account holders are gringos. Like one banker told me, banks can not only live with that, but they look at gringos and gringo businesses as future growth centers for the bank. But where the tables are turned, like in Costa Rica and Panama, like for example, where a bank's gringo account holders percentage is 5, 10, 15% or even more, well, that's another story, and the paperwork and the extra filings and reportings and the extra staff they'll have to hire are real time-wasting headaches. So, we can expect those account-closing letters to start arriving in Panama and Costa Rica real soon, too. So, how to get around all that? My advice has always been to come down here, hook up with a lawyer, and get yourself an SA corporation. Even if it does cost you $500 to $1,500 a year to maintain it. That would be the first step, and you do that as soon as you get down. Though the best option of all is to get your temporary residency, which will lead to permanent residency in a year or so. Then, after about 5 more years, you'll get your passport and citizenship. That's generally how it works, though there's some variation between countries. If you follow that procedure, you won't have to worry about any of that intrusive first world big brother FATCA crap. You just open your bank account anywhere you are in Latin America with your Latin American passport. So then, are you being unpatriotic? And I mention that because I get emails every once in a while from people saying that leaving the States and becoming an expat is somewhat unpatriotic. What'd you say? Unpatriotic? Unpatriotic to whom? To a country whose politicians continuously lie to you and take your rights away? A country whose politicians have jacked your income tax up to 50% while giving themselves and their friends exclusions and perks? A country whose politicians live VIP lives of sultans and princes on your dime? Well, you know, as the famous English author Samuel Johnson said in 1775, patriotism is the last refuge of scoundrels. So, what's that supposed to mean? Well, to me it means, if, for example, you're in a debate with a person who's got an incomplete education and a lack of facts, patriotism will often be that person's final defense. You see it all the time, especially in sports. People root for the national team in the Olympics, in the World Cup, etc. In the name of nationalism and patriotism, of course. Totally irrational. It's like saying a prayer in the locker room before the big game. I mean, every team does that, don't they? Not to mention, every platoon does that before they go into battle, right? It's like saying, whose God is tougher, the God of the Bible or the God of the Quran? Duh. Come on. How about the army with the smartest generals and the most firepower wins? Who would you want defending you? A platoon with tremendous patriotism, led by a thick-headed commander with crappy firepower? Or would you rather be defended by a bunch of professional paid mercenaries with a 21st century arsenal? So what does that have to do with living in Latin America? Well, there is a connection. I'm sure you've heard someone or other say, America is God's chosen country. I mean, you hear military guys and presidents spewing that line all the time. Well, just recently I saw that very saying on a t-shirt worn by a Latino guy. A recently deported Latino, no less. Yep, a formerly illegal Latin alien is down here wearing his favorite t-shirt that says, America is God's chosen country. Now, I suspect he doesn't know enough English to know what those words even mean. And I believe expat Eddie had it right when he said, somebody ought to sue that t-shirt company for false advertising. Again, only in America, because down here, frivolous lawsuits like that just are not on the radar. But that's another subject. Anyway, back to this Latin banking business and the state of gringo accounts. So, bottom line, to avoid all that FATCA crap and those restrictive banking regs, it's a very good idea to get residency in another country and then a second passport as soon as you can. Or, I should say, while you're still able to. More and more, a U.S. passport is becoming like the scarlet letter. But the real key to breaking away from the U.S. is to somehow free yourself from the U.S. tax system. Legally, of course. And to do that, you have to become a resident in a foreign country. Like here in Latin America. A resident for tax purposes. And that way, you get that slick $100,000 a year foreign earned income tax exclusion. And by the way, it's double that, $200,000 if you're a married couple. Meaning, the first $100,000 you earn outside of the U.S. is completely tax-free. Now, do remember that the United States is the only country in the world that taxes its citizens on all foreign income. A revolting, terrible, unjust situation, I know, but we're stuck with it. However, the way to bypass that is to get the hell out of the States and become a resident in a foreign country for tax purposes. And if you plan it right, you can completely avoid paying FICA too. Again, totally legal, of course. And yes, we do talk about all that stuff and more at the Expat Wisdom Seminar. And there's one coming up in July. There are still some places available, so just go to expatwisdom.com, click on the seminar link, and get all the details. That was my shameless plug, and back to the thoughts at hand. So anyway, after you've established yourself in a foreign country, preferably Latin America, as a resident down here for tax purposes, any amount you earn down here up to $100,000 is U.S., federal, and state tax exempt. Of course, you do have to follow certain procedures and guidelines to qualify and satisfy the Treasury and the IRS, but we talk about all of that at the Expat Wisdom Seminar. And by the way, every year the IRS raises that exemption amount by about 2%. So next year it'll be an exemption of about $102,000 for every single American living in a foreign country who qualifies as a resident there for tax purposes. Now, do remember that the money you make in the foreign country where you're a resident will be taxed at that foreign country's tax rate. But for example, let's take the countries of Guatemala, Honduras, Salvador, or Nicaragua. Well, in those countries, it's always possible to work it out with your lawyer and accountant so that you're only in about the 5% personal tax bracket or less. You heard me, 5% tax bracket or less, not 40 or 50% you get raped for when you're up in the States. How do you like that? That means if you're in the 40 or 50% tax bracket, and you are, whether you know it or not, and I can prove it, well then, imagine having all that extra money that you earned in your pocket to spend instead of handing it over to lard-ass politicians who enrich themselves and their friends. So anyway, once you're out of the States and you're a resident in a foreign country for tax purposes, that means April 15th is a special day. That's when so many long-term expats put their umbrella drinks down, pull themselves out of their beach hammocks with both hands. They face north and give a mighty high five with a predominant middle finger, while mouthing the politician or alphabet agency of their choice, usually the IRS. And does it feel good? Well, come on down and try it for yourself. Some expats say it's better than sex, but don't quote me on that. Now, if you remember on last week's show, I was talking about how Latin America is still pretty much a cash-based society. You gotta love it, right? Well, obviously it's a cash society because, depending which country you're in, anywhere from 20 to 40% of the population is working off the books completely. Gotta love that too, right? Then there's a matter of that trust thing that people here in Latin America just haven't cottoned on to yet. I'm talking about trust when writing a check. The fact is, there isn't a Latin person I know that hasn't bounced a few, or has there been a Latin person trying to pay you with a check who hasn't said, "Can you do us both a favor by waiting a few days or even a week before you cash this one, please?" Which is always a bad sign, right? Now, I'm not saying that doesn't happen up in the States, but up there in the first world, that sort of thing comes with a good measure of embarrassment and a red face. Like when your credit card gets refused or blocked. Whereas down here, it's so common to bounce a check that there really doesn't seem to be any shame attached to it at all. So you can understand why perhaps 3/4 of retail businesses don't take checks. And even that's being generous. Now, like expat Eddie said, eventually, every single gringo gets burned with a bad check or two, or three, or more, by some Latin deadbeat. And remember, he's a guy who's been down here a long time, and he owns a lot of restaurants throughout Central America. Anyway, he came down and started a few businesses, trusting gringo that he was, and of course, at first, he accepted checks as if they represented real money. And like he said, with his first restaurant, he started posting bad checks on the counter and on the wall, and eventually, he was sure, he said, he could have wallpapered his whole restaurant in about a year, just with bad checks. Which, you know, in a way, could be a kind of a trendy new twist, you know, bad check wallpaper. How about that for a gringo bar or restaurant gimmick? I'd like to see that somewhere, wouldn't you? And by the way, back then, 8 or 10 years ago, when Eddie and his first few restaurants started taking off, I remember Eddie showing me a handful of what he called special checks. These were checks written at his restaurant that bounced that were from so-called Latin VIPs. Translation, very insolent pricks. Eddie's words, not mine. We're talking generals and colonels and high-level politicians. You know, the ones that pull up right in front of your place in their bulletproof limos, and their dumpy bodyguards jump out and try to look official and menacing as they hang out in front, while the fat-assed, liquor-breathed, pot-bellied VIP they're in charge of makes his grand strutting entrance into the restaurant like a peacock, hoping to turn everyone's head. And he does, because Latins are forever sucking up to jerks like that, which might sound familiar to all you guys and gals up in D.C. Oh, and like Eddie says, they don't use the parking lot. They double park right in front because, after all, they are VIPs and you know what that stands for. In fact, Eddie once even showed me a bounced check from the son of the president of the country at that time. Now, I ask you, who's going to turn those checks over to a collection agency? No one, of course. So again, let me warn all you expat gonna-bees and wannabes, whether you have a business or not, don't take checks. And even if you completely trust a person writing the check to you, in fact, that person might be a very trustworthy gringo, note that if the check's drawn on a U.S. bank, it'll take at least a month to clear. And if the check's drawn on a local bank, it'll take a week to 2 weeks to clear. And that's why it's basic routine common procedure down here for employees who do receive payroll checks to run down to the bank it was issued at, meaning as soon as that check's in their hand, they sprint down to the bank and try to cash it right away. Because so many of them have learned by experience that if they don't go down to the bank, chop chop. I'm talking about the bank the check was drawn on, where their employer has the account. Then, there is a chance they just might be the last in line and get stuck holding the check a few more days or longer because of insufficient funds. In other words, what I'm saying is that an employer might have 10 employees and issue 10 payroll checks, and he's only got enough funds to cover 9. So if you're the last in line, you're screwed. Temporarily, anyway. And if you think that's a little nutty, here's a little story that'll blow your mind. Some senior citizens in Latin America, ones that worked for a company or the government, for example, that is, people working legitimately on the books, can and do collect a form of Social Security. Believe it or not, most Latin American countries do have a Social Security system, which is crap and bankrupt and always being looted, and in fact, infinitely worse off than the broken Social Security system up in the States. Anyway, no, they have Social Security systems here. And by the way, here's something that's been in the papers down here lately. Did you know that in Guatemala, the Social Security system called IGSS, I-G-S-S, is so corrupt and has been so looted that the last 5 directors of the Social Security system, which by the way is a presidential cabinet post, are either in jail, on the run, or under indictment for stealing or diverting millions in Social Security funds for them, their friends, and their family. And do they get caught? Almost never. Unless, of course, they're stupid enough to come back and flaunt their wealth, which some idiots do. But that's another story. And you know, as far as gringos are concerned, we don't really give a damn. With Latin American governments so corrupt and chaotic, and the fact that 20 to 40% of the working people work for cash off the books, that means to implement even a vestige of a Big Brother state would be impossible. In other words, expats down here have more personal freedom than any other place in the world. And believe me, if you want to be somewhat under the radar or even anonymous, man, you can be anonymous. But that's not a topic for this show. We'll get to that later. And by the way, the average old age pension payout for government Social Security systems in Latin America is slightly under $100 a month. And you thought your Social Security payout sucked. Now, if you read any of the big Latin newspapers, you'll occasionally run into an article that has a photo or two of a bunch of senior citizens protesting in front of the presidential palace or Social Security administration because, as you might have guessed, the monthly check bounced, didn't arrive, or just didn't get issued. As a matter of fact, that kind of thing happens all the time down here in every Latin country. Now just imagine if that happened in the States. And it will. If you've been following the downward spiral of what's happening up there, you know it's bound to happen. And very, very soon. Anyway, I hope you live far, far away from the nearest ghetto or Latin slum. Because up in the States, when those Social Security and disability checks bounce or come late, so will the welfare checks. All I can say to that is, man, I'm glad I'm down here. Because you see, down here, the common folks are already used to the government screwing up and bouncing checks. And remember, in Latin America, there is no welfare culture. Therefore, there is no talk about what will happen when the checks bounce or quit coming. There are no welfare checks. Anyway, back to this mostly cash society down here, which you gotta love. Now, here's something to keep in mind. If you go into a drugstore, which is called a farmacia here, spelled almost like pharmacy in English so you can't miss them. Anyway, believe it or not, and I know you're gonna think I'm crazy, you can walk in there and buy one Band-Aid. No, I'm not talking about one box of Band-Aids. I'm talking about one single Band-Aid, which will set you back about 3 to 5 cents U.S. And in a lot of these places, especially in mom-and-pop convenience stores, you can buy cigarettes. Yep, I mean just one cigarette if you like. And another thing, in the pharmacy, of course, you can buy a box of medicine or pills, but you can also buy one single pill at a time. Now, because you can buy practically everything without a prescription down here, if you just exhibit your symptoms to the pharmacist, then he'll come up with some kind of remedy. And whatever he gives you will usually work, prescription or not. That's why, for example, if you walk into the pharmacy and you ask the druggist what would be good for a certain ailment, let's say Montezuma's Revenge or whatever, and you explain your symptoms, there's a good chance he'll have grabbed 2 or 3 remedies off the shelf before you even finish talking. And you know, the fact is, over the years I've spoken to many middle-class Latin people, and I can't tell you how many times a 20-year-old Latin person has told me he's never been to the doctor in his life. In fact, a high percentage of 20-year-old Latins didn't even have a doctor in attendance when they were born. They're still quite a bit into the midwife thing here because, well, it's a lot cheaper. And you know what that means, don't you? very, very few Latin folks are born by cesarean. Isn't that funny? When you have a midwife, there's almost no complications and no cesareans, yet when you go to the hospital, about 10 to 20% are cesareans. Those are Latin American hospital statistics. And for hospital births up in the States, and practically all our hospital births, the numbers are twice that. About 35% of births in the U.S. in 2012 were by cesarean. In fact, one midwife told me that she's done over 1,000 births and not one was referred to a hospital for a cesarean. And of course, I'm talking about a midwife working down here in Latin America. Is there something wrong with that picture? Sound familiar? Now, of course, the wealthy and the upper middle classes will always go to the doctor and the hospital, but as for the average Latin American, the ones that make $300 or $400 a month, you don't go to the hospital unless you're half dead. Though I'm sure they'd all get on board if they had medical insurance, but less than 2% of average Latin Americans have it. Anyway, I can't tell you how many times I've been in a pharmacy where an average Latin guy will walk in, exhibit his symptoms, and the pharmacist would say, for example, you need to buy 20 500 milligram tetracycline tabs with the instructions to take one every 12 hours until finished. Okay, so far so good. Except many, many times I notice that the guy at the counter buying the drugs does not have enough money to buy the whole prescription, so he'll just buy 10 pills or even 5, and then he's gone. Even though the whole prescription costs maybe $3 or $4, and chances are, like most pharmacists will tell you, people go home with a half a prescription, and they do get better. So they never come back for the other half, the other 10 pills they were supposed to take. So what does that tell you? Well, you might think that the whole society is loaded with superbugs then, right? Because without the full treatment, the infection or the microbes that survive are the tough ones, the superbugs. But you just don't see that here. Even though up in the first world, we're all told to take and finish our prescriptions, or else your disease or sickness will come back later with a vengeance. I'm sure you've heard that 100 times. Of course, like in the first world, people do pick up secondary infections in hospitals. That's a huge problem worldwide, but it's no worse here than it is up in the first world. And that, as you know, is what they talk about so much in the first world now. Superbugs, and they need new, stronger drugs because the old ones aren't working anywhere, right? So with that premise, you might think, with a huge portion of Latin people not downing the allotted quantity of pills, then that should spell trouble. Yet there's no epidemic of superbugs. Well, here's a reasonable hypothesis for that. You just ask one of the common Latin Americans on the street, the average Latin American, when's the last time he took a prescription medicine or an antibiotic, and most of them will say, never, or it's been years. Unlike your average American who's on 3 or 4 medications all the time. Oh, and by the way, not to confuse you, I did say prescription, right? And then earlier I said you don't need a prescription. Well, it sounds like I'm contradicting myself, but it's true. You can go into a pharmacy and exhibit your symptoms and he'll give you something that's a prescription drug normally, up in the States that is. Or you could go to the doctor and he'll write you a prescription like they do up in the States. And that's what they call a receta down here. And it sounds a bit like the word recipe and looks like the word receipt when written on paper. Easy enough, it's one of those Spanish words you'll get right away. In fact, a receta is not only a pharmacy prescription, it's also the same word they use for recipe, like for cooking something. And I guess in a way, a prescription is a recipe. That's logical. But the vast majority of Latins don't do things that way. They just skip the doctor and the $10 for the visit and ask the pharmacist. And you know, that system seems to work because people are mighty healthy down here and they take few drugs. Now, gringos and expats have posed the question, why would a doctor even have to write a prescription? Why doesn't he just tell the patient what he should take or phone it into the pharmacy? Why not skip all the rigmarole of having prescription pads printed out and all that? Well, it's because for that scant 2% of people who actually have medical insurance, as it turns out, like up in the States, the only way they can get reimbursed for their prescriptions on their plan is to have an actual doctor write the prescription as kind of an accounting step so they can keep their records straight. And gringos and expats have also asked the question, will there ever come a time when everyone will finally need to have a prescription to get scheduled medication at the drugstore? Because, like I said, you can get all that stuff over the counter now without one. Well, first of all, do note that it's the first world that puts restrictive schedules on drugs, like Schedule 1, 2, 3, and 4. And as it turns out, down here in Latin America, there is no equivalent to the FDA, or any equivalent to a monitoring agency that actually goes into doctor's offices or pharmacies to check on the use, delivery, or prescribing of scheduled drugs. And that would, of course, be scheduled drugs as we know them up in the States, because down here, they don't have schedules. For example, up in the States, codeine, oxycodone, Valium, and Xanax, and the diazepines are scheduled drugs. So are 10,000 others. So the fact is, if there are such monitoring agencies down here in Latin America, they exist in name only. In fact, in asking around, I know of no doctor, pharmacist, or patient that's ever come in contact with such an agency. In fact, the closest thing that might come to an FDA-type regulatory agency in Latin America is what's loosely translated as the Department of Sanitation. It's basically what you might call the health department, which I know sounds like it could be the garbage department, though it literally translates to the Department of Sanitation. And for example, if you want to open a bar or a restaurant or any place that serves food, you have to pay 10, 20, or 50 bucks to get a permit from that department, and you'll have to leave it in plain view on the wall for all to see. Now, of course, they'll probably never come and inspect your joint, no matter what you serve, unless, perhaps, there's an epidemic of food poisoning in your restaurant and some people die. Anyway, Latin American countries do try to copy all manner of first world regulatory agencies, and thankfully, they do a real chaotic, half-assed, crappy job of it. That way, when us gringos and expats come down, we can do a proper first world job of it our way without any government interference. You know, it's all part of that gringo advantage, right? Oh, and just one more thing about pharmacies down here. Nearly all of them are open 24/7. Now, I don't mean they keep their doors open 24/7. Usually by 9 o'clock at night, there's only a night light in the place at a tiny drive-up window slot. So it'll look like the lights are off and it's dead to the world, but there'll be a worker or a pseudo-pharmacist in a white coat sleeping in a cot behind the counter. Just ring the buzzer and wake him up. And by the way, they have 24/7 home delivery too. A guy on a motorcycle, no extra charge.
South of the border, down Mexico way.
You've been listening to the Expat Files, living in Latin America, coming to you twice a week from somewhere south of the border. Email me, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And don't forget to check out expatwisdom.com to sign up for your free reports on Latin America. See you next time. Nos vemos.
She was a picture.